school has specific requirements different from those of the middle or high school. For the safety of young children, elementary schools are typically single-story to make emergency evacuations safer. Elementary schools in Portland are tucked into neighborhoods, whereas high schools need easy access to large parking lots and generate more traffic with inexperienced, distracted teen drivers. We don't want elementary kids near high school parking lots. There are many reasons why the current zoning code. If high school and elementary schools are combined, young children will have access. Will they have access to play fields large enough to meet state acreage standards? Elementary schools must have restrooms and lunchrooms designated for small children, while high schools have their own unique requirements. Most parents would be reluctant to have their five-year-old wandering on a high school campus, at times unsupervised, with a broad section of young adults. After the travesty, the K-8s, would you give a green light to K-12? If you pass the zoning change, you will own these problems. These are public lands. They belong to the public at large, not the mayor, not city council, not the real estate trust, not the Center for Innovation School Facilities. There should be a golden rule of architecture preservation. Treat the work of past generations with the same respect you would want to give into your good works today. If you enforce your zoning ordinance, you will stop the high school redesign on Monday. You have a duty as a city to protect and educate the children within your city. You need to be aware of the school district is doing at all times, or else you abdicate responsibility to the children. Finally, the city that works. I would like to end with a reading of the schools that have closed in Portland Public Schools since the first Earth Day. Adams High School, Applegate, John Ball, Barlow, Brooklyn Neighborhood, Buckman Neighborhood, Clarendon, Collinsview, Columbia Marine Drive, Columbia Prep Site, Edwards, Foster, Fulton, Glen Haven, Green Thumb, Holiday, Holbrook, Kellogg, Kennedy, Canton, Kearns, Linton, Marcella Site, Markham Annex, Meek, Mount Tabor Annex, Multnomah, Normandale, Rice, Richmond Neighborhood, Rose City Park, Sacagawea, Shattuck, Smith, Spring Garden Site, Sunnyside Neighborhood, Twilliker, Washington High School, Old Whittaker, New Whittaker, Wilcox, Youngson. Enforce your zoning ordinance now. It doesn't need to be changed. Thank you, and please help stop the redesign with high schools on Monday. And sorry to bother you, Randy. Yes, I am one of those that does take part and participate in the city government. We're not us and them. We are all in this together. These are all our children. And on my block, I'm behind three Afghans. I have three newborns due. One just got here 3 weeks ago, and I have two due in July and in June. The babies and the numbers and the stats that the Portland Public Schools are using are ludicrous. There is a bubble, and these little second graders are going to be in high school before you know it.
Marianne, I have to, just to be even
don't close our schools.
Thank you. Mr. Bartlett, welcome.
Hi, Mark Bartlett, Mount Tabor Neighborhood. That's quite a list of schools that have closed, and what troubles me is how being elected to the school board is perceived as making you a capable planner, and what they're doing by these closures, grade changes, and other subtle means is land use planning. So I don't understand why, in the 2 years I've been trying to bring this conversation forward, the city hasn't compelled the schools to work with them. They talk about the IGAs or whatever means by which you can do that, but nothing seems to be happening. And meanwhile, the destruction and the changes continues. When is this going to change? I have to agree with Mr. Shapiro that after all the testimony that we heard there, the type threes are necessary just for the reason that both parks and schools have not been good stewards of our properties and have not been forthright and honest in all of their dealings with the public. I understand Randy's concern about the politicization of that because of a type three, but how else are we going to participate as citizens in those decisions if we don't have the opportunity to appeal or to come before you and express our concerns? I don't have anything further on that. Thanks.
Bartle, thank you for your patience. Thank you all. Carla, I think we have one more.
Yes, Garrick Kransky.
Thank you for your patience, sir. You get the back cleanup.
Of course. And going last, you've heard a lot, so I'll keep my comments brief. My name, President of the Council, City Commissioners, thank you for the opportunity to testify. My name is Garrick Kransky with the Bicycle Transportation Alliance, and I'm here today to speak in support of safety for school children. I think we can make Portland school children safer in three specific ways. First, as mentioned by Superintendent Carol Smith in a letter to this body and to the Planning Commission dated April 7th, the BTA also supports fully funding and implementing the Safe Routes to Schools program in all public schools in the city. This program provides a fantastic framework for improving safety for school children, and it works even better when it's supported by federal, state, and local policy, which brings me to our second point. As proposed in the Planning Commission's agenda item today, the BTA supports the code refinement to require a Type 3 conditional use review process for the change of grade level that brings younger students to an existing school. We believe that thorough review of the changes should include parents, community members, and relevant officials in the process, and that it will create safer streets for our children. Third, since a conditional use review process is designed to identify potential land use and transportation conflicts, it's an excellent venue to discover the traffic safety problems that the Safe Routes to School program is designed to address. In closing, I just wanted to associate with the remarks of Planning Commissioner Shapiro when he mentioned the need to move towards intergovernmental agreements when making these kinds of decisions. I think as good as Safe Routes to Schools is, it's a reactive program that's designed to address problems after they're identified, and the very nature of planning is to look forward and come up with solutions before the problems arise, and that's exactly the way we should be making public policy. Thank you.
Thank you, sir. And could we ask staff to come back to the table for a moment? I think we have some questions from the testimony. And Deborah, if I could, we've had a number of people testify about whether these proposals change any of the rules applicable to colleges and universities. Could you address that first?
I'd actually like to ask Douglas to respond to that as a code expert. I think he's better prepared.
Douglas Hardy, Bureau of Development Services. The intent certainly is not for the 33279, the regulations for rec fields, to apply to colleges. The way that BDS has interpreted the new proposed regulations is, if you look in 279, where the regulations apply, it basically says to school sites and park sites. Given that statement, BDS would not even be looking at those particular regulations for colleges. We'd be going to a different part of the zoning code, 33.820, that applies. That's basically the conditional use master plans, and those master plans are what regulate the colleges. I think it may be worth clarifying some of the language in the, particularly in the base zones, to make that point clear. But certainly BDS's position would be that, no, we would not want the 279, proposed 279 regs to apply to colleges.
And Brett, does that extend to your understanding as to the recreation fields as well?
Correct.
So there may be some clarifying language which we can propose that addresses those concerns, so it does not in any way impact the existing conditional use process applicable to colleges and universities. So we appreciate those concerns being raised. Deborah, I have an additional question, which is, did the staff recommendation that Commissioner Leonard has referred to on a number of occasions and which we have in our packet, did staff at any point in the process consider any modifications to the staff recommendation separate and apart from what the commission adopted?
Yes. Actually, when we presented the planning committee, let's see the date, I'm forgetting the date, but at the most recent Planning Commission hearing, just prior to their making a decision, we proposed to modify our proposal to suggest that it could be a Type 2 for the adding the lower grades to the K through 8. So that was a suggestion as an alternative to our original proposal.
Your original proposal would have exempted It was K-8 altogether.
K-8, any movement within the K-8 grouping would not have required a review, and we suggested that as a potential amendment. We suggested it could be a type 2.
I'm sorry. And what was your thinking in terms of proposing that modification to your...
I think it was in response to some of the thinking we were hearing from the Planning Commission that they were concerned about the combination of the ages of the younger kids. So it wasn't a formal... I don't recall if we made it as a formal proposal. I think we suggested it as it could be considered. And Planning Commission then said, no, we prefer it to be a type 3.
Okay. So under the proposed code, if we have an empty high school and we want to put, the school district wants to put in an elementary.
A vacant site.
It's previously been a high school approved under a conditional use, and the school district proposes to have it be an elementary school. What kind of a review would be required?
Yeah, I was looking up what we said about that because I think that if it's vacant and then a new school is established but of a different grade level than what had been there before, I'm not seeing then we would just be looking at the type 2 to reactivate if it's within 5 years of being of being vacant, that it could be reactivated at a different configuration at that point. But if the school's reactivated as a combination of grades that would otherwise trigger a type 3 because of the proposal that's in front of you, if that would otherwise be a type 3, then that... I'm not saying this very clearly.
But what if
that would be a type 3 instead of a type 2?
What if it's not been vacant for any time? What if it ends being a high school 1 year and opens as an elementary school the next year in September?
Under the proposed code?
Yes.
So, yeah, the table on page 53, I think, is probably the most descriptive, the table 281.1. So if I'm understanding your question correctly, so about halfway down that table, currently if the school has grades 9 through 12, you see there on the left side, and if the school then wanted to add any grade K through 5, that's in the rightmost column,
okay. That
would require a type 3.
But that would be combining the grades. If the school goes away and a new school comes in and you're not combining the grades between those levels, I'm not sure that would be triggered.
That it's entirely getting replaced by a K through 5 and no 9 through 12?
You're basically starting fresh with a new school that's a different configuration. Then I'm not seeing that this would apply.
Okay.
Sorry, this isn't something that come up before.
I think this has been a very helpful hearing, has brought up a number of different things, because I do think on page 33 with the primary uses, it is very confusing. It does look like colleges, recreational fields for organized sports in colleges would apply. So I think we need to
change that. So it sounds like we can
clarify,
if we're going to clarify that, we can also clarify what happens if a school goes away entirely and starts up again, even if it's the next day, but in an entirely different configuration. Would that trigger a conditional use review? And I'm not seeing here that would. But I may be missing something. That's why I have to defer to our code people here.
And then just going back to going back to my earlier question about the going back to recreational fields, the T-ball to the big ball discussion. What was the reason for Planning Commission not wanting that to have a conditional use at all?
Well, I don't think there was a specific reason. I think they felt like it was a reasonable way of dealing with that level of use. In other words, they didn't think that change should require a type 3.
Any kind of conditional use.
And that's consistent with today's code. So if in a park it's been historically used for T-ball and then it becomes an adult softball.
If we're going to continue the hearing, I would be interested in hearing from the Planning Commission. I know the hour's getting late and my colleagues have to leave, but your letter talked about an enforceable good neighbor agreement and specific linkages, and I'm wondering if you feel that has been provided in what's been proposed.
So that's a question?
Yes.
Okay. So can I make sure that just a couple housekeeping matters? My understanding is that we're going to continue this hearing. Deborah, I need to find out your availability before we set a time here. I don't know that we need a time certain, but I want to make sure you're available to come back. So we'll do that with Carla in a second.
I think we do need a time certain, right?
Pardon me?
You are going to want to continue it to a date and time certain. Otherwise, we will have to re-notify.
Excuse me. Yeah. So we will do that. I understand there will be a number of amendments offered, including an amendment to, in effect, adopt the staff recommendation as it applies to change of grade. Commissioner Fritz has raised some questions about good neighbor agreements and language, and she has previously circulated some amendments, which I anticipate to come back. So with that understanding, do you have any restrictions on your availability for a continued hearing?
Well, this time next week, I'm participating in a Coalition for Livable Future Summit, so that's at this very time. But if it were a different time, I could check my schedule.
So you prefer the morning?
The morning of next Thursday, that would work.
Well, I don't think we do morning hearings.
Yeah.
Yep. And besides which, the summit's all day, and I'm participating in the morning.
So, I'm open to – Carla, what would be the next time certain that we'd have available?
Let's see. The 29th, if you want to – well, actually, the 20 next – is next Wednesday too soon, Deborah? Or
no.
Okay. We could have clarifications.
Okay,
that would work.
What time next Wednesday?
Wednesday the 28th at 3:15.
Does that work with you, Deborah?
Yes.
So let's continue this to a time certain next Wednesday at 3:15. Commissioner Shapiro, would you be available?
You need us for that?
Well, we'll share with you whatever the amendments are, and then you can make a judgment as to whether you want to be here or not.
And there's no intention.
There is no current proposal to send it back to you. Would that be a condition that would cause you to submit your resignation?
Yeah, no. Very hard on this.
I think that Commissioner Smith was out of line when he even suggested that. That I think we can all agree. So, any further comments by my colleagues? Well, let me just say to everyone who has been here for a long day, thank you for your time and your testimony. This is a complicated issue, but I agree with Commissioner Fritz. I thought the hearing brought some clarity to the issues, and I appreciate the fact that our friends from the Planning Commission have framed this as the search for the right balance. And reasonable people can agree or disagree on what that balance is, but I think we know what the framework is that we're going to grapple with. So with that, Carla, we will continue this to a time certain next Wednesday at 3:15. We are adjourned.
No problem. I'll make sure to get it.
What's that?
So I guess I have to call off the celebration.